Hey Circle, welcome to the September 2016 workshop. This month we're going to tackle something that is challenging for everyone, and that is how to deal with or combat negative thoughts and self-doubt. It's something that we all come up against at one stage or another. Nobody is immune from this. And so learning how to deal with that when it does arise is a really important part of moving forward and, you know, pushing past the difficulties. So in this workshop, I'm just going to give you some strategies that you can try and some questions that you can ask yourself so that you can determine whether this thought you're having is a true thought or a false thought, whether it's something that is really a problem that you need to fix, or whether it's a false thought that comes out of fear or scarcity or self-doubt or a lack of confidence. So we're going to go over that sort of thing in this workshop, and I hope by the end of it you'll have a few more strategies in your toolkit that you can pull out and use whenever these self-limiting, fearful thoughts arise in your business journey. So let's get started. Hi everyone, welcome to this month's workshop on a very important topic: how to challenge negative self-talk and a lack of confidence. This is something that everybody struggles with. We are our own worst critic, generally speaking, and we are always second guessing ourselves and stressing out that we're not doing it right. So I wanted to address this topic because it is something I think that holds a lot of people back from moving forward with their businesses. So that's why we're going to talk about this today. So, do you find yourself doing any of these things? Downplaying your achievements, focusing on the negative, refraining from starting something because you don't think you're ready, feeling like a fraud or a faker, berating yourself when you make a mistake, not telling people about your business because you're afraid they won't take you seriously, thinking you don't have any original ideas, and never fully committing because you can then blame your lack of success on not having the time. Surprise! Everyone has these sorts of thoughts occasionally, or perhaps more than occasionally, and if that's you, then this is definitely the workshop for you. The key to this process is learning how to separate the truth from the fiction in your brain and challenging the false beliefs and replacing them with true beliefs. I just want to throw a caveat in here though. There's a difference between regular negative thoughts and actual clinical anxiety. If you think you have the latter, you really need to seek professional help. Go see a doctor or a psychologist, someone who can help you, because when you're stuck in the cycle of clinical anxiety, it's very difficult to bring yourself out of it without any help. You can do it. I've had serious anxiety twice in my life. I've gone through periods of serious anxiety, once leading to depression when I was younger. You know, it's an illness just like anything else. And what happens is when you get stuck in anxiety or depression, it usually starts with anxiety and you get thought loops. So you get anxious thought loops that go round and round in your brain. And then those really stick in because what fires together in your brain, it makes it stronger. So when you're thinking something over and over again, you're actually strengthening those neural connections and those neural pathways, and that makes it harder to counter those thoughts and get out of that anxiety spiral. So, you know, if you're in a serious anxiety spiral that leads to depression, you know, there might be medication that helps, there might be deeper cognitive strategies and just the help of a qualified therapist, which I am not. So, you know, if it's really interfering with your everyday life, go see someone and get some help, because it doesn't have to be there forever. It can be overcome by changing numerous things in your life. So, you know, the strategies I share today will help to some extent with that if you implement them, especially the relaxation strategies and the, you know, changing your thought strategies. But I just wanted to say this, you know, if you think that it's a real serious issue, I really want to encourage you to go get some professional help, because it's no way to live. Having serious anxiety and not doing something about it is, it just ruins your whole life. So there's that. Okay. So how do we challenge these negative thoughts and hopefully overcome this feeling of lacking self-confidence? I've got four steps for you today. This is by no means a definitive guide. It's just a kind of guide of things that have worked for me and that I've researched, that I've found that are quite common practice. So if you find other things that work, do them. But if you have never really consciously sat down and tried to overcome this before, then this will help. I do refer to Your Year to Thrive Lesson 3 later on. So if you haven't done that for whatever reason, that's a good complement to this workshop. If you know you're doing this and you just have just joined the Thriver Circle, it'll be coming pretty quickly. So here's a few ways. Number one is to become more mindful in general, and I'll explain what that is. Number two, talk it out with someone you trust. Number three, write it down and really examine it. And number four, take action. So we're going to go through in detail these four steps. Number one is to become more mindful. So what is mindfulness? It is just, if you imagine in your brain, you've got the chatter, you know, the talk that's going on, you've got a constant cycle going round and round in your head of thoughts or snippets of songs or whatever else, you know, that's your brain constantly thinking. It's what it does. That's what it's for. Then if you've ever meditated or just been, you know, somehow aware of your thoughts. So there's a difference between thinking and being aware that you're thinking and actually watching your thoughts. And it's this idea of having, you know, imagine there's your brain, and then you take a step back from that into a, like what we call a witness consciousness. So you become the witness of your thoughts instead of being caught up in the story and just being sucked into the story. You're witnessing it. So it's almost like, you know, when you're watching a movie or reading a really good novel, this happens to me anyway, I'll actually get sucked into the story and kind of forget that I'm a separate being, you know, especially a novel for me, I get really absorbed. And it's that moment where you realize that you're reading a story. You're not actually, the story is not real. It's that witnessing. So that's what you need to cultivate, is that ability to actually, when you're having these thoughts, is to step back from them and realize you are not your thoughts. You are simply having thoughts. And that means these thoughts can go, and they come and go like clouds in the sky. You're never always having a thought. There's a great metaphor that I think a Buddhist teacher talks about it. So, you know, like imagine your mind is like a blank movie screen. Anything can be projected on that screen. There can be love, hate, horror, comedy, whatever it is. But once the projector's turned off, the screen never changes. And that's what I'm talking about. That screen of your mind is always blank. Your thoughts are simply being projected into it. So it's becoming aware of those thoughts. And until we become conscious that we are having thoughts instead of thinking, being the thoughts, it's very difficult to challenge and change your thoughts. So here's a quick strategy for you, and this might be a bit too forceful, and that's okay. One, it works for me if I'm really, you know, stuck in a thought. Whenever you catch yourself having a false negative thought, we'll talk later about how to determine that, shout like no or stop inside your head. It's just that moment of no, I'm having one of these false thoughts. And then take 3 to 5 slow, deep breaths down into your diaphragm, real deep belly breaths. And then just sit in that for a moment and try to separate yourself or your witness consciousness from the thought and examine it. And then use your counter if you have one developed for it. Again, more on that later. So you can build this mindfulness muscle, this ability to notice your thoughts through mindfulness training. There's a link here in the slides. I've written a whole big post over on Create and Thrive a while back on meditation and mindfulness, and I've given you some apps, some recordings, some strategies that'll help you with this process. And it's just a psychological process, this mindfulness. There's nothing religious or spiritual or anything about it. It's something that has been developed in all sorts of cultures because it works and it makes people happier because it means that you can step back
and let your thoughts pass you by or challenge them. So if you're interested in that, go check out that link. So becoming more mindful, because until you realize that you're having these thoughts, you can't change them. It's very difficult. So the second step is to talk it out. So actually speaking your thoughts aloud can help you to hear the truthfulness of them. Even saying it in a mirror, like say it to yourself in a mirror, this thought that you're having out loud, and see what your face looks like and what does it feel like to really say that out loud. Like, does it feel true, or does it feel icky or wrong, or like you're just being afraid? Okay. Also, sharing your thoughts with someone who you can trust to be honest and caring can help you to work out what is truth and what is false. Honest and caring, this is very important. You need to choose someone who doesn't have a vested interest in your business, preferably in the success or failure. You know, sometimes the people closest to us have a vested interest. They might wish that we were doing something else, or they might not understand what we're trying to do, and so they are negative towards it, or they won't be as supportive as perhaps you need them to be. So it's really important that you find someone who isn't going to try to convince you of the truth of false negative thoughts for their own ends. So really think about that when you're choosing the person. Make sure that they are kind of a bit neutral to the success or failure of your venture, and that you know that they have a good head on their shoulders and they're going to be caring and honest. Not that they're going to be all Pollyanna and hearts and flowers. Like if you're saying something that is actually true, that's a negative thought. Negative thoughts are not always bad. They stop us from doing silly things. So, you know, that this person can be, say you're going, this time next year, I'm going to be making $1 million and I'll be able to quit my job and buy a house in the Bahamas. You know, the realistic person who you've chosen will go, that's probably not going to happen. Let's just dial it back a bit and be a bit more realistic about your, about what you can achieve. Okay. So someone who's going to do both things is what you want. And if you don't have someone like that in your life, come over and share your thoughts with us in the circle if you want to. This is no pressure here. It's a place, it's a safe place for you to do that. That's why it exists, and we can help you with it. All right. So the third step is to write down and examine these thoughts. Again, like speaking it aloud, writing it down gets it out of your head and into reality. Okay. Avoidance is a common strategy when we're dealing with a lack of confidence. So we'll have these thoughts and they'll just be bubbling away like below the surface, and we'll kind of never really admit them. They're just kind of there. And by actually having to speak or write them, we're owning up to the truth of, or the reality of these thoughts that we're having. We're not avoiding things. You know, oftentimes you'll avoid trying something new because you say, oh, I can't do that, or I don't have enough time, or I can't figure this out. Where really what it is the little voice saying, you can't do this. You're too stupid, or you're too old, or you're too, you know, you're too set in your ways, whatever it is. We all have those sort of thoughts, and it's finding these, what's actually happening underneath. The excuses that we give are not necessarily the truth of what's stopping us. So you have to face your fears, and you have to own up to what you're really feeling and what you're really thinking. And that can be really confronting, and I totally understand that. Okay. But it's very important to do. So writing them down makes them concrete and separates them from us a little bit. Again, you know, these are thoughts that I am having, not these, this is me. These are thoughts that I am having. I can change them. Okay. So I've found a list of challenge questions. I found these in a few places, but I've given you the link to the source a few slides down if you want to go read the full article. These challenge questions can help you examine your thoughts about a situation. And you can use this in all of life. It's not just about your business. So there's four stages. The first one is reality testing. So these are the questions. What is my evidence for and against my thinking? Evidence. Are my thoughts factual, or are they just my interpretations? Am I jumping to negative conclusions? How can I find out if my thoughts are actually true? So that's reality testing. Number two, look for alternative explanations. Are there any other ways that I could look at this situation? What else could this mean? If I were being positive, how would I perceive this situation? Number three, putting it in perspective. Is this situation as bad as I'm making it out to be? What is the worst thing that could happen? How likely is it? Like if you try, what's the worst that can happen? You can fail. At least you've tried. How likely is it? Only you can decide that. What's the best thing that could happen? What is the most likely thing to happen, or what is most likely to happen? Is there anything good about this situation? And my absolute favorite that I've used for at least a decade now to get me through tough times. Will this matter in 5 years' time? This one was really important to me when I was a teacher and I was really, really, really stressed about little things like a student who was struggling with a particular issue or, you know, something I'd said that day or something, you know, my marking or my whatever, okay? Will this matter in 5 years' time? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, don't stress about it so much. Number four, step four, using goal-directed thinking. Is thinking this way helping me to feel good or to achieve my goals? What can I do that will help me solve the problem? And is there something I can learn from this situation to help me do it better next time? So those are all challenge questions that you can use to examine a thought or your thoughts about a situation or a question or whatever. Here's the link on Psych Central to that sort of list if you want to go check that out as well. All right, step four is take action. So you've examined your thoughts. You've determined which are true and which are false. Now, this is a process you can come back to again and again over, even with the same thoughts. You can keep assessing them if they keep popping up. So now it's time to take action to move past these limiting thoughts and self-doubt. Creating your counters. And as I said down the bottom, if you've done your Year to Thrive Lesson 3, you've hopefully done this already. But just a recap if you haven't. For each negative or limiting thought or belief, you need to come up with a counter that you can say to yourself silently or out loud if you're by yourself or on the bus and don't care what people think when that limiting thought or belief pops up. So for example, if one of your limiting thoughts is, I can't figure this out, your counter could be, one of my favorites, everything is figure outable. That's from Marie Forleo, by the way. Maybe a limiting belief you hold is, I'm not technically minded enough to sell online. Counter this with, I can learn anything I need to reach my goal, or I can get help with the things I'm not confident doing alone until I am. So the idea is you come up with, you know, what is the negative thought? What's a true and realistic counter to that thought? And then whenever you catch yourself having the negative thought, you say the counter. Celebrating your wins. This is really important when it comes to overcoming that lack of confidence issue. Obviously this whole thing, I just want to pause for a minute and say this whole workshop is about the two things because the two things go together. Negative thoughts is what causes a lack of confidence and a lack of confidence causes negative thoughts. It's this terrible spiral that happens. The more confident you get, the less negative thoughts you'll have. And confidence comes with time as well. So, you know, when I started this business, my goodness, I didn't know what when I started Fuel, I really had no idea what I was doing. So, you know, I struggled with negative thoughts sometimes and I'm actually, I'm a pretty self-confident person in general. So that's good. But even if you're not, with time and experience and your confidence will grow. So the longer you have your business, the more things you make, the more things you sell, the more customers you interact with, you know, you'll get more comfortable and you'll build your confidence because you're getting that external validation. And some people need external validation to build their confidence and other people have good internal validation. Obviously over time, you want to grow to the point where you are coming from a place of internal valuation. You want to value yourself from the inside and not be relying on external things because relying on external things is very, very dangerous because, you know, if that external validation falls apart, what have you got left? So we need to work on building our self-confidence from the inside by having more positive thoughts, true positive thoughts. So that's really, really important. So one way to do that, coming back to this, is, you know, if we are lacking confidence or we have a habit of negative self-talk, we'll often gloss over or even actively downplay our achievements. This is not good, because by glossing over or downplaying our achievements, we focus on the negative. We become a glass half empty person. Here's a nice one for you. You know, here's a glass. This is totally accidental, by the way. I did not plan this. You know, is the glass half-ish empty or half full? The glass is always full because it's full of liquid to here, and then it's full of air to here. How's that for a mind-blowing thing? So the glass is always full, even though it looks empty. So, you know, come from that perspective, you know, the glass is always full, and really trying to embody that and not faking it really, but just building, slowly building your confidence and changing your thoughts from negative to positive until you really believe it. And it's not, you know, a fake thing. So you need to celebrate your wins. Share them with your support network. Share them with us and anyone else, your friends on Facebook, whatever. Have a ritual that you do to celebrate big achievements. So what do you do when you celebrate big achievements? Do you treat yourself to a massage or go for a long walk or make yourself an extra nice meal or get your partner to make you an extra nice meal or go out to dinner or something, hopefully something affirmative and positive, like getting blind drunk is probably not a good way to celebrate your wins, even though in our culture a lot of people do that. You know, try to pick something that is supportive to your health and mental well-being. So pick a ritual, you know, that you do to celebrate big achievements, and have something that you do to celebrate small wins as well. You know, even if it's just a sale, I made a sale, hooray, let me sit down and treat myself to a cup of tea, or, you know, give yourself a face massage. I don't know, whatever, like it's going to be different for everybody, but just something small that is a little ritual that you do. And that just reinforces that positive win mentality. Like, hey, I've achieved something awesome has happened. Let's celebrate. Okay. Write down your wins in a journal. So have a special journal. It could be your gratitude journal if you have one, or just a journal for your business where you write down all the good things that happen. And you can refer back to this whenever you feel like you haven't achieved anything, and actually read through all the things you have achieved. Now, it's really important to note that our brain is a problem-seeking device. That's what it does. The point of the brain is to solve problems. So that means you have to realize your brain is going to be looking for problems all the time. That's what brains do. And so it gives a false bias to negative thoughts or to problems, and focuses on those because your brain likes to solve problems. So if you have a problem, you're going to find yourself focusing on it because that's what your brain wants to do. It wants to fix it. It wants to close it off and finish it up. Whereas positive things that are going well, your brain's like, cool, done. I'm sorted. I don't need to keep focusing on that because it's not a problem. So you need to cultivate ways to actually ruminate in a positive way on positive thoughts and wins and success and achievements, so your brain doesn't just go, yep, sorted, let's move on to the next problem. Cultivating your support group is really important. So find 1 to 3 people or more who are in your corner, whom you can turn to when you're struggling with fear or self-doubt. And don't be afraid to lean on them and be their shoulder to lean on in return. You know, it's really important to have that give and take, the exchange of energy in our lives. And if we have a friend and we're always leaning on them, we become an emotional vampire and we suck their energy without giving anything back to them. So it's really important to cultivate those relationships where there's give and take and you support each other. So, you know, when someone's supporting you, make sure to put an effort into supporting them, because then, you know, everything's equal and everybody's happy and we feel like everybody's winning in the situation rather than one person always supporting the other one. And then that can start to make the supporter feel resentful over time. You may have experienced being that person for someone, and you know, there's only so much emotional care we can give before we start feeling tapped out. So it's really important to be reciprocal with that. And make a list of the people in your life. This is a nice one. Who makes you laugh? Who's down to earth and practical? Who's a dreamer with passion and big ideas? So actually think about the people in your life who have these qualities, and then you'll know who to turn to when particular issues arrive. Like if you're feeling sad, ring up the friend who makes you laugh. If you're feeling a bit too bogged down in the practicalities, ring or, you know, message the person who has big ideas and is a big dreamer, and they can just kind of help you balance out what's going on in your own mind and your life as well. And you might be that person for them, you know. My best friend always makes me laugh. Even when things are crap for her, she just has a way of making it funny. And, you know, that's one of the things I love the most about her is her spirit and her positive sarcasm. And I hope that, you know, I'm the support for her in that way as well. So it's all about finding those relationships that work really well and that you balance each other nicely. Okay, the last one is one of the most important things, and this is something that you don't have to rely on anybody else to do, and that is cultivate relaxation. So, a little bit of science for you. Hooray. You know I love it. If you're living in a constantly high state of stress, then countering negative thoughts and self-doubt will be very difficult. Because your brain is hopped up on adrenaline and you're in this anxious, kind of highly agitated state all the time. You need to cultivate practices in your life that help your relaxation response kick in. It's called the rest and digest response. Or to get more technical, it's the parasympathetic nervous system. So you've got the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. When you encounter a stressful thing, so, you know, the old saber-toothed tiger, your body, the sympathetic nervous system kicks in. And what happens? Okay. Your heart rate increases, your breathing increases, your eyesight gets sharper, all the blood goes to your muscles, making you ready to run or fight. You know, your heart rate and breathing is increasing so that you have more oxygen in your body to make your body work more efficiently. Your blood is moved away from your digestive system, because you don't need to digest food when you're about to die. You need to run. you're wide awake. You know, you don't need to sleep again because you need to stay alive. There's all sorts of stuff that happens in your body that is keeping you in that fight, fright, flee or freeze state. Okay. Now, of course, in modern life, as you're aware, we are often in this state for no good reason. We're in this state because we're worrying about something, or we're driving and someone cuts us off in traffic, or we're stuck on the highway for an hour, or, you know, someone says something mean to us, or a customer's unhappy. All of these things kick in that stress. Our kids are yelling at us, you know, whatever it is. And our body is in this constant state of stress. What does that mean? It means you have digestive issues. It means you can't sleep properly. It means you're breathing shallowly and not getting enough oxygen. There's lots of other stuff. Your immune system is suppressed because, again, you don't need to fight off viruses and bacteria if you're about to fight a saber-toothed tiger. So all of these things are happening in your body. And what happens is, you know, your other things are not working properly. So you want to actually train your body to relax, to actually switch to the parasympathetic nervous system, which, you know, increases your digestion, increases your immune response in a positive way. Like, do you know when you get sick? Like, say you've been really stressed about it, something, maybe if you're a teacher, like the end of term, if you're a student, the end of term and exams, or something big happens, or you just take time off work and all of a sudden you get sick. That what's happening there is, there's a name for it. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. It's kind of the rebound effect or something. What's happening is you've been in this state of stress for so long, and then your body goes, oh, I can relax now. And then everything goes way too much the other way. And you get sick because your immune system comes back online, but it's over responsive. you know, and every or under responsive depending on the situation. And so, yeah, things go horribly wrong. And you feel tired and you feel sick and, you know, you're like, oh, what's happening? I should be enjoying my holiday. So that's what happens. And by cultivating this relaxation regularly, this parasympathetic response, you're going to even out your body's systems and keep everything running more smoothly and be more aware of what's going on in your mind and have a calmer mind that's more in control, you're more in control of. So put that aside now. That's all a little science education. You need to find what works for you. It might be yoga and meditation. That's my thing, you know. I would be a mess without yoga and meditation in my life every single day. It keeps me calm and happy and aware and awake and helps me control any anxiety or anything else that pops up. It might be reading a good book, a bubble bath, taking a walk, a daily walk, exercise. Oh my gosh, exercise is brilliant. Aerobic exercise. It does so many positive things to your brain chemistry. I cannot even begin to tell you. There's an amazing book called Spark. I'm just going to write this down because I want to put it in the notes underneath this. It's Spark, the science of exercise in your brain or something. I'll find it and I'll give you the link. That book totally changed my life. Like reading that just woke me up to the power of aerobic exercise, and it is for mental health. So for anxiety, depression, hyperactivity, any of that stuff, it's a really powerful tool. And so that's something to consider as well. So yeah, so find what works for you that helps you stay saner and calmer and more relaxed in your life, and make a commitment to yourself to do it regularly, preferably every day. But if you can't do it every day, then, you know, a few times a week, and take that time. And I totally know that you don't have time and you're busy, but you have to make time. Don't expect it to fall in your lap. And I promise you, if you make time in your life for these sorts of activities, it will make the rest of your life so much better, and it really is worth it. So again, a caveat, don't, you know, try not to choose unhealthy avenues like food or alcohol as your relaxations. You know, the whole emotional eating thing, I know, you know, I do it. I've done it in the past, you know, sitting down and hoeing into a whole block of chocolate because I feel sad or whatever. It works great in the short term. You get all that, you know, those happy chemicals, but it's not a long-term healthy solution. Same with drinking. There's plenty of other things that might be unhealthy ways of relaxing or coping with it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with eating chocolate or drinking in moderation, because there isn't, but I'm just saying using these as coping strategies is not the healthiest thing to do. They're false relaxants because they have downsides, you know, unhealthy downsides. So in short, a relaxed mind, you know, a mind that exists more often in the parasympathetic response, rest and digest response, is a saner and clearer mind, and less anxious. You know, you'll have less of these horrible anxious thoughts going on because you'll be more rested and relaxed. So that's a really important step. Okay, so that's my little workshop for you today on this topic. I'm really passionate about this topic, so if you have any questions for me, please just ask them below, or any comments for me, how any of these things have worked for you or stuff that you're going to try, or leave them over in the Thriver Circle. I'm happy to help and, you know, give any advice that I can on this topic, because it's really, really important. Have a wonderful spring or autumn or fall, I think you guys call it, depending on where you are in the world, and I'll see you in the circle. Bye for now.